Please pray with me. Gracious God, we ask that you would be present with us here, that the indwelling of your Spirit that is present with us now would open us up to receive what it is that you have for us this day. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, I don't think Presbyterians are all that comfortable with the Holy Spirit. The Charismatics and the Pentecostals, they've got it all figured out. The Holy Spirit is a major emphasis for them, both in their corporate worship and in their personal lives. For us, not so much. For us, it's more about Jesus. Jesus, we've got figured out. The Holy Spirit is a little too elusive and a little too abstract. Let's just put the Holy Spirit over to the side, and once in a while we'll drag him out and dedicate one Sunday a year to this third person of the Trinity that we, on the day that we call Pentecost. There was nothing unusual about that gathering that we read about today, that gathering that we call the birth of the church. Jews had been celebrating this time called the Festival of the Weeks for a long time. They'd gathered 50 days after Passover to celebrate the grain harvest and remember when Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. But what started as a typical festival that day soon became very atypical. Imagine yourself sitting in a worship service or in a home. Yeah, I know. Hopefully we will be together soon. But imagine sitting there with a group of people and not just feeling, but hearing this fierce wind filling the place. Now, I've never experienced a tornado, but I have heard them described as sounding like a train coming, which sounds pretty intense, yeah? And even though I've never been in a tornado, I have experienced strong winds. One year when I was in college, I lived in this small town of 300 called Trinidad, and it was right on the ocean, and I loved walking this trail to these tall bluffs called Elk Head that looked out onto the sea. And at one point during the year, I was going through a particularly tough time. And I would go out to the edge of those bluffs and just feel that fierce wind buffeting me about. And I think I also did a little bit of yelling at God up there. Yeah, I was going through a rough time. There was something about feeling that wind and hearing the waves crash on the rocks that brought me in touch with the power of God. Something about that reminded me that there was something bigger than me out there and that something cared about me. But wind isn't always powerful, is it? Wind can also be a gentle breeze that caresses and cools. I was given a set of wind chimes from the Bauer family after Jim's passing last year, and I have it hanging on my front porch. And if I open the French doors in my living room, I can hear the chimes gently ringing. And also because the porch is also off my bedroom, I sometimes hear them in the middle of the night, and they are very comforting. About a month or so ago, when I was listening to them ring or chime, I realized that they were playing the same notes as Amazing Grace. Coincidence? Planned by the company that made the bells? Maybe. But I choose to believe that it's the Holy Spirit giving me comfort and a reminder when I need it. I don't always hear it, but I've heard it often enough that I know it's there. I think we can use these two images to describe the Holy Spirit. Power on the one hand, gentleness on the other. Two seemingly opposing images to describe the same thing. And I think we need both. We need the power of the Holy Spirit when we are confronting the darkness, when we need to speak out against the darkness of systemic oppression and racism that's still rampant in our country, which we saw this week with this unjust death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to have the courage to say, this has to stop. Other times we need the Holy Spirit. We need that power to give us strength and courage during a time of struggle. I think of this as more of a steady, sustaining power that allows us to rely not on our own strength and wisdom, but instead the strength and wisdom of the Spirit of God. Some of the most powerful worship experiences I've had is with charismatic sisters and brothers. So what about the gentleness of the Spirit? When might we utilize that? Maybe we need that gift of comforting for someone who is ill or grieving. Maybe we need that part of the Holy Spirit to help us sit in the quiet and create a space for God to enter in. Maybe we need the Spirit to help give us grace to others and receive grace for ourselves when it's not easy. The Spirit of gentleness might come in handy when we want to respond to unkind words with harshness instead of grace. I had a conversation with a colleague several weeks ago, and we were musing about why is it that we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our space. Richard Rohr, who's kind of a spiritual guru, says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, we are always waiting for the Holy Spirit, somehow forgetting that the Spirit was given to us from the very beginning. In fact, she was hovering over the chaos in the very first lines of Genesis. The Holy Spirit was turning the formless void into a Garden of Eden. He goes on to say, we are threatened by anything we can't control, that part of God which blows where it will, and which our theologies and churches can neither predict nor inhibit. The Holy Spirit has rightly been called the forgotten or denied person of the Blessed Trinity. We cannot sense the Spirit like we cannot see air, silence, and the space between everything. We look for God out there, and the Spirit is always in here and in between everything. You know, I really like that idea of the Spirit being in here and in between everything. And I think the phrase that we are threatened by anything we can't control, which our theologies and churches can't predict, is true. If the Spirit is in here and in between everything and is unpredictable and uncontrollable, what does that mean for how we do church? We are certainly in an unpredictable time. It started a year and a half ago with the sanctuary burning, and now, of course, we're faced with something that goes beyond this small little mag press world. So the question is, if COVID miraculously ended tomorrow, how would we resume our lives? How would we go back to church as it is? Would we try to recreate the known and the comfortable? Would we be open to something unpredictably new in which the Spirit is leading? What if we spent this time of uncertainty asking the Spirit of God to show us something new to learn from this, not only in our lives individually, but as a church moving forward? What if we harnessed all the outrage and energy spent protesting about having to social distance and wear masks and not be able to eat in our favorite restaurant or meet for in-person worship, and channeled that outrage into protesting the inexcusable violent killings of black boys and men like Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd? Maybe we need to learn how to tap into the Spirit's power, or perhaps we could use a little bit of gentleness in our lives. As I close today, I'm going to play a video of my wind chime, and I'm going to ask you to take this moment to breathe deep, listen, and feel the Spirit. and answer this question. What is the Spirit asking of you?